You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And, of course, and now the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. Countdown to first pitch. It could be countdown to elimination and extinction if you are the Toronto Blue Jays. Could be the last game that Jose Bautista plays for the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland Indians have the Jays on the ropes. They're sending their best pitcher on the hill, and the Cleveland Indians are an underdog. We break it down. Dave Malinsky joins us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave's a great baseball analyst and capper. We'll talk Jays tribe. We'll talk Dodgers and Cubs. Mike Cardano will join us. We'll talk baseball with Mike as well. We'll talk NFL football. As Mike is a New York Jet fan, but we'll get to the Jets in a couple of moments at time. You want hockey? You want to talk some DFS? Well, we got puck talk. We got puck talk with George Kurtz, roto expert. George knows pucks. We'll talk some NHL hockey with George Kurtz. Ton of stuff to get to. Nothing wrong with some afternoon baseball. But let's start off with the intro rage of the day. As a week six of the National Football League concluded with an Arizona Cardinal victory over the visiting New York Jets. Now, I didn't think that it was possible for this game to be more boring than the Carolina-Tampa Bay game was last week, but somehow it actually was. As this is 3.5 hours of our life we're never getting back, you know, I was thinking, you know, the NFL doesn't have a ratings problem. It's just an early trend. No, they got a ratings problem, man. They got a serious ratings problem. I looked at the ratings. More people are watching Jane the Virgin. Like, Jane the Virgin has higher ratings than Monday Night Football now. This is what it's come to. This is what it's come to. And, you know, why is it this bad? Well, because Ryan Fitzpatrick really is that bad. Now, we can pick on Fitzpatrick all we want. We've been down this road constantly with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I really don't know what's worse. You know, the games themselves, the incessant amount of commercials, 23 penalties. How many punts were there last night? I mean, I got to believe there were like double-digit punts as well. You know, the game was so bad that Sean McDonough, who's the play-by-play guy, and generally play-by-play guys don't go, you know, this is unwatchable. As you know, Sean McDonough goes, and I wonder why ratings are down. Stop calling penalties on every damn play. You know, the NFL's got some serious problems right now, but not as bad as the New York Jets have problems right now. It's a good thing that Fitzpatrick was ready to go after he held out. I don't know what's stupider. The fact that Todd Bowles actually punts. You're a 1-4 football team. There's 14 seconds left in a half. You're down 14-3, and you punt. You punt. If I didn't know any better, I'd think that, you know what? You had money on the Arizona Cardinals, coach. Why else? And listen, I gave you guys, and my apologies, man. I really do apologize. Normally, you know, it is what it is. I give a pick, it wins, it loses. I feel bad for this. I should have known. I'm like an idiot. Like, what, you know? I want to hit my head against something right now, you know, but I don't want to smash this TV. They'll probably dock my pay. Maybe they probably couldn't. It's entertainment, so maybe another time. But I'm telling you, I want to start smashing things right now because I'm a moron. I give you Ryan Fitzpatrick over 21.5 completions, and guy can't stay in the game. And honestly, I wanted him to stay in the game because of the prompt, but I would have taken him out earlier in the game. But the option is Geno Smith. The other option is Christian Hackenberg. Real pattern here of bringing in winners at the quarterback position. Like, you know, seriously, I think Ohio State have better quarterbacks than the New York Jets said do. But what's baffling to me is the fact that you leave Ryan Fitzpatrick in and you announce that Ryan Fitzpatrick's still your guy. He's still here. The only reason he's your guy is because nobody else was stupid enough to pay this guy. He's your guy. Is he going to be a member of the New York Jets next year? No. Is Geno Smith going to be a member of the New York Jets next year? Both free agents? No. Why the hell would you play either of them right now? Try to trade Fitzpatrick like now, yesterday. Get rid of him. Make Bryce freaking Petty your starting quarterback. Or the New York Jets have a couple of options here. They can basically tank tank it, which they're on the route to tanking. They can go 1-15 and bring Deshaun Watson in, or they can trade for Tony Romo, because Tony Romo's done in Dallas. It's Dak time right now. And the Jets have been down this road before. And, you know, it's to the point, Jet fans are real loyal. Real, real loyal Jet fans. You know, Fireman Ed hasn't given up yet, I guess. But it's to the point where Jet fans are like tossing jerseys in the yard. They're tossing jerseys in the yard. And the internet, you know, the internet's a cesspool of contamination full of dumbass losers. But some dumbass loser came up with a pretty good meme last night as the only jet that touched down in Arizona was their actual plane yesterday. My apologies. My sincere apologies. I gave you Ryan Fitzpatrick that 21 and a half completions because I'm a stupid idiot. But we'll close it up with this. As good as the New England Patriots are, the Patriots basically play in the Sun Belt of the NFL. Let's call it out for what it is. No wonder the Patriots have double-digit wins every year. They're playing with a bunch of morons. They're playing against the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. No wonder. Like, if anything, the Patriots should go undefeated every year. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, countdown is on. Well, we're about a couple hours away, about 2.5 hours away, whatever it is, to first pitch. I actually saw a ton of Blue Jay fans on the street heading towards the stadium as I was coming into the studio. There's definitely a pall over the city. You can feel it like just the instant depression last night as reality settled in. But when Mike Napoli is stealing bases on you, you don't deserve to be going to the World Series. And the Toronto Blue Jays just can't do the little things. Everything has to be perfect. It's got to be like Martha Stewart perfect, man. You can't screw around in the playoffs. Every play, you need to be 100% focused as if it was the last play of Game 7 of the World Series. The Toronto Blue Jays, Russell Martin, you know, daydreams. Old ball, a little slow to get to the ball. Well, you're slow enough that Mike Napoli, who was like 92 years old and slower than Oprah Winfrey, stole second base and ended up scoring from second on a hit after, on a single after. Like, you know, the thing's a train wreck. But nevertheless, let's talk about today's games. We've got Mike Cardano joining us. We'll talk baseball. Roto expert George Kurtz will join us. We'll talk some DFS hockey. And we're going to run the gauntlet with the professor, Dave Malinsky. You can read his column over at pregame.com on a daily basis. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, there's a similar pressure here in Vegas to what the Toronto folks are feeling. It touches on me individually. You know, we've got Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump here for the final debate tomorrow night. And so people will know I have invited both candidates over for breakfast Thursday morning. Not one or the other, but both. It shows that my impartiality. But, you know, here we are a day and a half before breakfast. I haven't heard back from either. So how do they expect me to prepare?
Well, you know what, Dave? There's been a lot of lowbrow, sleazy fights in that arena at the Thompson Mack Center. This might be the worst one of them all, huh? It's funny, I saw the media set up outside of there this morning, and I was thinking, man, I've done some crazy things in that parking lot where that guy's standing.
It might not be the worst. You know, it is going to be quite a spectacle.
I just love it, Dave. Like, from the lingerie, like, to Thomas and Max, you're like, classic example is, I went to the lingerie bowl at the Thomas and Max Center, Dave, you know? It's just, you know, from everything, from future presidents to Playboy models with football helmets on.
But at least for us, it will be over after Wednesday. I'm not sure it's going to be over for Toronto fans today. I believe Toronto fans will wake up tomorrow morning and there will still be a baseball season.
All right, so let's jump into that right now. The Jays are -125 favorites. Sanchez is on the hill for the Jays. The Indians are throwing Corey Kluber out there. There was a thought that maybe we'll give him an extra day, but no, they do it now so they can use him if there's a Game 7 situation. To me, Dave, this all comes down to mindset, doesn't it? You know, what's the mindset? Are Cleveland, did Cleveland celebrate a little bit too much? Are they ready to go in for the kill? They do have Corey Kluber, whose ERA in the postseason, Dave, is 0.00.
0.00, but has never pitched in his career on 3 days rest. So if you're Toronto, Do not come out overly energetic. Come out patient. Make Kluber work. And then look at that Cleveland bullpen. All of the key cogs go more than an inning yesterday. They all throw more than 20 pitches. You would have the back end of that bullpen, Allen and Miller, the two keys, 4 games in 5 days, heavy workloads. Quick turnaround, too, from night to day. I think Cleveland is extremely vulnerable here, but the Blue Jays have to be patient about it. Don't rush to the plate. Don't try to make too much happen. Come into the game with patience, and you can win this one.
You know, we say that, Dave, but they've played, about 170 games now or whatever it is this season. And the Jays were talking about changing their approach at the plate after the first two games in Cleveland. And then Bautista comes out and says, there's circumstances working against us. Like, you know, the umps are pinching the Jays, and they're not doing the same to the Indians. But the problem with the Jays is, Dave, they're not a small ball team. And although, you know, they can be patient, they do have smart hitters, they can wear out a pitcher, no doubt, at the best of times in the regular season. We see it this time of the year. It's hard to slug your way to the World Series, Dave. I don't have to tell you this. Look, the last 2 years, Kansas City made it to the World Series playing small ball. Cleveland just doing little things. You know, Mike Napoli ends up scoring from first base. The Jays can't do that stuff, Dave. They need a 3-run shot from Donaldson or Edwin.
And that's why, in terms of building a team, you have to have that versatility. Because you know what? You're just not going to square the ball up against Andrew Miller. You know, there will not be home runs. When you watch a guy like Kershaw against the Cubs the other night, there was not going to be a home run. You have to at least give yourselves the options for when you face the better pitching. And that's what happens when you get into October. Options need to be there. Today, again, it doesn't have to be that drastic, but just make Kluber work. You'd like to have him throw at least 15 pitches in each inning. So it's just, you know, being focused. Take a borderline pitch. Have that concentration level. And that's the problem with Toronto. Sometimes the concentration level just isn't there.
And I'll tell you, Dave, I've been a day late, dollar short in this series. I've been on the Jays in all two games. I took the Indians in game one. So I've had the Jays in the last two games. But plus money in the series, Dave, because I've been riding the under in the series. Last night, a little dicey at the 8.5, but it ends up staying under the number. Quick take on the total here, 7.5. I almost feel like I have to take the under in this game, Dave.
Well, that's part of what makes this a fight for Toronto today. Cleveland hasn't hit in this series. I think you'll get a good game out of Sanchez. He showed a lot of nerves in that first playoff outing against Texas. I think it's good that he's worked through that. Now, it's only his second outing in almost 3 weeks, so he's going to be fresh. You'll get a good game from him. The Toronto bullpen lays out okay. The risk on the under is if Kluber struggles early and the game gets away, Francona might have a quick hook. This could become a take one for the team, you know, from one of the middle relievers. So there's a chance if the Blue Jays win, they could break the game open. Hence why there should be some Toronto money line. It should be run line in your pocket. You can actually take the Blue Jays plus $1.75 on the run line. That's not a bad bet because this one could break open.
That's a very good point, Dave, because if it busts open, then they have it in their back pocket. All right, guys. All right, good stuff. We're going back home 3-1. And let them win 10-2 or whatever it is. The Jays could have that breakout game. It's an interesting matchup. All right, so let's get into the Cubs and the Dodgers, in which, you know, Dave, I wondered about the Cubs playing under pressure. They dominated so much. I believe they're 22-23 or 23-22 in one-run games this year. A stat that stuck out to me coming into the postseason was the fact that San Francisco batted .232 when they were trailing in a baseball game, but when they were winning, they batted .270. And, you know, they beat up on a lot of bad teams in a mediocre division. And San Francisco, you know, they showed something when they won that game with the late home run. But now we got L.A., and L.A. just sort of has that team that, you know, Bip Roberts is pushing all the buttons. I love the fact we got a guy that stole the base that led to the rally for the Red Sox, too. He's managing with his gut. It's working. The question is, can the Dodgers get something out of someone besides Jansen and Kershaw? These two guys can't win every game for them. So Rich Hill on the hill tonight. Arrieta, I'm not fully sold on Arrieta. I don't don't view Arrieta in that same, like, scary type of guy as a Bumgarner or as a Kershaw, Dave. But the fact is, last time he pitched on this hill, he did throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, in fact, two starts against the Dodgers the last 2 years, 16 innings, no runs, 20 strikeouts and two hits. So there's been some dominance there. Hill is the question mark. You got two wild cards here. There's Hill's ability to be sharp. He only lasted 7 innings in two starts against Washington, threw 137 pitches, 13 base runners in those 7 innings. But now the middle of the cup order, the 3-4-5 guys, 6-for-60 in the playoffs, a 1-for-23 from Rizzo. Cubs need to do the same thing Toronto needs to do. They need to be more patient and more selective. That's what teams that are pressing don't always do. You know what happens in most aspects of life? When you're pressing, you tend to try harder or be more aggressive. That's the wrong thing in baseball. They actually need to be a little more patient today against Rich Hill.
Dave Malinsky joining us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. All right, Dave, let's talk some football. I want a neutral outside of observation. On the Buffalo Bills, 4 straight wins, 4 straight covers, laying 3 points this week at Miami, Dave.
I think this line is high in that the last couple of settings were awfully good for Buffalo. They got to play the Rams when the Rams had 3 defensive linemen out. And they got to play the 49ers, and there's nothing easier in the NFL. I believe right now Cleveland might be better than San Francisco. So the last 2 wins were set up well for Buffalo. Here's the big issue. Miami had their starting offensive line for the first time all season Sunday. Look at what that meant. And it's not necessarily that the starters are great, but you go back 2 weeks ago, Miami had starters at left guard and left tackle who aren't even in the league anymore. So that shows you how badly they were positioned in the Tennessee game. When their offensive line was there, they were solid. They're not supposed to be the home underdogs here. This is supposed to be a pick'em game.
Seattle and Arizona, interesting football game. Arizona victorious last night, but you talk about bad football teams, and the New York Jets are a bad football team right now. So, yeah, and talk about settings. Arizona coming off a win against the Jets, and before that previously against the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm not sure that Arizona is, air quote, back, so to speak, Dave. And I really don't know what to make of Seattle. I felt, I had the Falcons plus the points. It was a risky play. It was a bad spot for Atlanta, but I was confident in them going in there. And I tell you, Richard Sherman, that was pass interference on Julio Jones late in that football game, Dave. So I don't think Seattle are great. I do think they're better than Arizona. What do you make of both these teams? That this is the division. The Rams are going to fade. San Francisco's not a non-factor. And it doesn't look like either of these two are like really wild cards. They're battling for the division here, Dave. What's your take on this matchup?
It's close everywhere but quarterback. And at quarterback right now, we have Russell Wilson playing as well as anybody in the NFL. And Carson Palmer doesn't turn 37 till December. He looks 47 when you watch him play. But Palmer just doesn't have the mobility. I don't think Palmer's going to hold up well against active defenses. Seattle's going to be active and get some pressure on him. So I think the Arizona roster is better than Seattle's away from quarterback. It's the edge at quarterback for Seattle that pushes the Seahawks over the top there.
Hard to argue as far as Carson Palmer. We saw the decline late last year, Dave, throughout the preseason. A lot of people discount preseason, but anybody that paid attention could tell that his mechanics were off, struggled through this season as well. And Dave, let's wrap it up. And it's a great thing about the professor. We can just fire off different topics at him. He doesn't even know what's coming, unlike Hillary Clinton at a debate. Texas A&M and Alabama. Well, the Aggies were a dark horse with a lot of sharp guys I respect, actually, Dave. And the mainstream were talking about the Aggies coming into this season. They dodged the bullet against Tennessee. They come off the bye week. They're getting 17 against Alabama, who taught Tennessee a lesson last week. Is this a competitive football game?
I don't think so. Alabama's a little bit scary right now. And we know the Saban defense has always been there, but they've got the best receivers they've ever had under him. In fact, you could almost make a case their receivers could be the best in the country. But as each week goes goes by, watch the way that Lane Kiffin is tweaking this offense. Those last two games on the road at Arkansas and Tennessee, they got almost 10 yards per play. Some of this is great talent, but some of it is you're seeing a lot of different formations. They're using a lot of motion. Kiffin is doing a really good job of creating mismatches for that offense. We're going to find out eventually that Lane Kiffin's actually a really good football coach. This is one of these seasons where he's coming into his own.
Yeah, it's amazing. I agree, Dave. You watch Alabama, and Gary Danielson was talking about it as well, the mobility that Hurts brings to the table. The kid can throw it deep down the field. He can run the offense that Lane wants to run. But when he scrambles, I mean, you know, the Phil Sims kid, the Blake Sims kid, you know, he had some mobility, but, you know, he was an average quarterback that was there by default, so to speak. Hurts really brings that different element, but they don't overuse that. And it's such a devastating combo of which it's almost like in fighting, in MMA, Dave, in a UFC. You like a fighter that can win any type of fight. You want to get flashy and crazy, I'll knock you out. If we go to the ground, I got jujitsu. The Alabama's offense, they can play smash mouth. They can get gadgety. They can throw bombs. They can go intermediate. They can hit the tight end. They can really do whatever the hell they want to do on offense, Dave.
Yeah, if you go back and look at films of the last two games, so many of the things they got on offense came so easily. You just can't defend all of the players that they put out there. And here's the other element where over the course of 60 minutes it matters, the athleticism all over the field. Alabama has 11 touchdowns this year when the offense wasn't on the field. It's 11 touchdowns from the defense or the special teams. To put that in perspective, that's more touchdowns than the Stanford and South Carolina offenses have scored. There is just so much ability there that over the course of 60 minutes, they will make a couple of plays that A&M just can't make.
We got to get out of here, Dave. I'd like to talk about Lane Kiffin maybe next week as far as him getting a head coaching position once again, because it has to be inevitable. And if someone's not offering him a job right now, they're not doing their due diligence, I don't think. All right, Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time.
Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got Mike Cardano. We got George Kurtz. We got football, baseball, and hockey talk coming up next. Game time decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. The countdown to first pitch continues. Those of you in the area, I saw last night on StubHub, in about the seventh inning last night, I decided to check the StubHub price for the Blue Jays game today. It was $45 for the cheapest ticket. I was doing a podcast, and I said, watch, guys, after the Jays lose, the tickets will immediately plummet. Within about 30 seconds after the game last night, they were $34. Last I checked, they were $24. I'm like, I don't know how much lower they can actually go. Hell, I was considering going to the game. I still might go. I don't know. It's $20. $20. But, you know, I won't. Okay, let's bring in Mike Cardano right now. What's going on, Mike?
Gabe.
What do you think, Mike? Am I lazy? Like, would you go? Like, I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but I can go to Game 4 of the American League Championship Series for in between $20 to $30, and I could probably walk there in about 15 minutes. Like, is it shameful that I'm not going?
If you can get your beer included, I'd go.
No, exactly. Plus, I don't like the owners, so I don't even want to buy any popcorn or anything. I'm not drinking. You know, there's a lot of things that go against this, Mike. You know.
Hey, you know, Gabe, John Gibbons messed up last night. He should have let Trevor Bauer just bleed out on the mound.
I know.
He passed out. There's no blood rule. It's just a foreign substance rule. So if he didn't come out and complain,
he's an idiot.
He could have left him in there.
That's a very good point. I know. If the pitcher's bleeding to death on the hill, let him bleed, right? Like, seriously. I thought you were going to say screwed up and sending Stroman back out there.
Nah, listen, no matter what you do now, it's just a crapshoot.
So. People, Jay fans are pretty much, what's the word I was looking for? Douchebags. They jump on and off. People in Toronto, DeRozan sucks, Lowry sucks, then they're great the next day. And I saw people last night with the audacity, and they're ripping Stroman. He choked. This guy gave you 6 innings. He gave up 3 runs. That's not choking in a playoff game, Mike.
That's a quality start by today's standards.
I know. I don't know. We want a no-hitter from him? Everyone pointing the fingers. I point the fingers at sloppiness. But, let's start off with the baseball right now. We'll get to the Jets in a minute. Indians and Jays. Dave Malinsky just joined me. Said he thinks that this is a flat spot for the Indians and that the Jays have battle and win this baseball game. I just can't. I got to take Corey Kluber here as an underdog, Dave. They're red hot. He hasn't given up a run in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't see it. Listen, of the 10 teams to hold the 3-0 lead, only the 2004 Yankees failed to advance the World Series. I think Cleveland does it, and they just do it quick and dirty and get it over with right here with Kluber.
I agree. I think they get out it's like 2-0. Kluber's shutting them down. There's just that depressing feeling in the stadium.
Listen, if Andrew Miller shows up, Toronto, they must just get into their dugout. 20 strikeouts and 9 postseason innings, and these people are beat before they, and I don't count slapping the single to right field there by the fat catcher.
Yeah, by the fat catcher. Who, Navarro? Yeah. It's one of these deals. I don't know. The Jays, too. It's not a good clubhouse, the Jays, Mike. And I don't go there, so I shouldn't speak about their clubhouse too much, but I hear a lot of things. And, last night they didn't talk to the media after the game. They sent poor Stroman out there to deal with the media. They cranked the music
Gabe,
up.
They're beat mentally. Jose Bautista's going around saying the series is rigged. He thinks that he's
like
blaming
Trump.
The umpires, scary clowns, Brangelina, and Ken Bone, anybody he can.
It's like Trump. Everything's rigged. Bautista picked up that it's rigged line.
Yeah.
Circumstances working against us. All right, so you're leaning with the Trump. All right, how about the Cubs and the Dodgers, man? You know what? We were right and wrong. We said that Mattingly was holding the Dodgers back. There's no way in hell the Dodgers are here with Mattingly. But Mattingly did do a good job with Florida. I'm not going to discredit that. But, man, I'm really, and I got to be honest. I was talking about who was I wanted at the time. Who was the Dave guy that he played for the Expos, the assistant. Can't believe I forget the guy's name right now. But anyways, I wanted a bunch of dudes, and Bip Roberts really wasn't on the radar, but I couldn't be happier with the buttons that this guy's pushing right now.
Well, listen, with the amount of injuries they've had, more than any other team in the history of the sport since it's being recorded, and what he's doing, it didn't work out for him in Game 1, but that's about the only time it didn't work out for him. And I'm not conceding anything here for the Cubs tonight. Rich Hill, yeah, okay, maybe he's a journeyman or whatever, but this year, he's 12-5 with a 2.12 ERA, and he's not to be shunned upon, and I do give the Dodgers a fighting chance to win this thing. Listen, they're going to get Kershaw at least one more time, and if not twice, and they just have to steal a game and get into position, and I'm not going to concede the game to Arrieta tonight. I don't see any reason they should.
You know what would be great for the Dodgers if there was a weather delay in Chicago at some point? If it got back there and a game was delayed, and if they can get an extra day for Kershaw, I would expect that they figure out a way to get him in there twice, actually.
It's not an oversight on my, as far as why, where I sit, that they came back on Chapman. I understand it was only the one hit. He struck out the two guys. But, it just says that you're not invincible. And, after playing the game, you get up in the box, and sometimes you're beaten before you know whether you can have a chance or not of hitting the guy. And, after watching Gonzalez's at bat, they're emboldened now, and they're just not going to concede things to him when he gets back on the mound. So if he's in a tough spot, you might catch a walk, maybe, a stolen base, and then all of a sudden the pressure's on, right? He squeezes the ball too tight, and you never know. So it's now, for me, no layup if Chapman gets into the game.
In past years, and growing up an Expo and a Dodger fan, Blue Monday, Agenda is you know, etched in stone, obviously, 1981, Mike. And, of course, they made the decision. They brought in Steve Rogers instead of going to Woody Fryman or to a Bill Lee, to one of the closers, to one of the relievers. And historically, Mike, you know this. They haven't like we didn't see Doc Gooden as a reliever. We didn't see Clemens come in weird spots. It used to be, no, your starter was the starter and your relievers were your relievers. And in past recent years, it's really been set in stone. We got a setup guy, we got the closer, we got the bridge guy, and it's really set in stone. Seems like the managers this year, they're all in every night, and I love it. You know, they're like, we'll worry about tomorrow. I hate that stuff while we're on 3 days from now if we do this. No. These guys are living for today, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to leave Jensen out there, man, for a couple of innings. He's never done this in his life before, but the World Series is at stake, and it's time for him to man up. And guys are manning up right now. We're seeing the managers. They're not scared. We saw it with Kershaw coming in. We're seeing the Indians do this, in which they don't care, man. They'll get a pitcher out of there after three innings. Good job, starter. We're going to the pen. It's very unorthodox this year, isn't it?
Gabe, you know, kids do it in Little League. They come in, they pitch to whenever the heck they're told to. But you'll probably remember this. 1992 ended with that famous NLCS game in Game 7 where Francisco Cabrera knocked in David Justice and Sid Bream.
Yep.
And, you know, beating the Barry Bonds throw.
Yep.
Well, in the spring training of 1993, Jim Leland wanted to change things, and he wanted to go with a six-man rotation, firing all of his starters as hard as they can for three innings apiece. And he was dead set on doing that. And then the players' union got involved and the agents got involved.
Of course, because of the wins and losses,
just
right?
The first three innings.
Yeah, the stats. Yeah.
Yeah, and that meant the contracts, stuff like that. So he had pioneered this kind of thought long ago. So I'm wondering if this is now going to be a trend, because sometimes the most important out is in the seventh inning, loaded bases, cleanup batter. Our team's going to bring in their closer or whatever to get out of that jam. And, you know, the players' union and the agents are going to fight it like heck. But it works. You know, if you got Andrew Miller to come in and kill your rally, I'll worry about inning 8 and 9 when I get there. I just killed your rally. And now you're dead in the water, and I get to hit you more times. So this is going to be interesting how things go with baseball, because it's not just been this one thing. A couple of teams have doing this now. You've now seen Chapman out there a couple of times that have not been the ninth inning with the lead. So, and the only person really who got screwed with it was Showalter, who didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it, and he ended up losing. He ended up losing. All right, so speaking of losing, Jets get blasted last night. Fitzpatrick is terrible. The season is lost. Geno Smith is terrible. Christian Hackenberg is terrible. I think Bryce Petty is actually the best quarterback that they have right now. I understand that Bull says that Fitzpatrick is still the guy, so I'm assuming he's going to get the start. If it was me personally, I'd let Geno Smith start at this point. But really, ultimately, I'd go to Bryce Petty. You know, I don't know. If you start Geno, you got to bench Fitzpatrick, dude. Like, you know, the guy, he's not even loyal to you. The only reason he's there is because nobody else paid him. He's ripping you off. He's not going to be on the team next year. Geno Smith's not going to be on the team next year. But if you play Geno Smith, you can pretty much guarantee a 1-15 or a 2-14 record. You go to Bryce Petty, you might actually win a few games. And so, I don't know. You're a Jet guy here. What do you do, Mike? Like, you drafted Hackenberg. You can forget about that already. It's like, you know, going to dinner. The dinner sucks. You're not getting refunded. Time to go home. Hackenberg, like, would be lucky to start in the Arena Football League. So, you know, do you go 1-15 and get a Deshaun Watson, who I'm not even sure is a savior, or do you go after Tony Romo? Because Tony Romo's done in Dallas. Dak Prescott's the guy there. And you got to believe, I don't know, we're just throwing, this is like sports rumor mill 101 here, but what would you do?
Well, listen, the Jets have messed up from the very top. I mean, they actually were under the delusion they were going to compete for a Super Bowl this year. You know, they kept four quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. They have four of them, and they're insisting on only playing one.
And they're all bad.
how silly is that? So you have to go with Geno Smith. If he catches lightning in a bottle, who knows? Stranger things have happened in life. Then you got lucky, and you can get back into things. You have a quarterback for that year. If not, you need to go with Bryce Petty. There's no reason at this point to go with Fitzpatrick. And you know what? Even if it's not all Fitzpatrick's fault, I have to say this. The line can't block, and nobody's open. But that said, nobody is open. He's throwing the ball to people who are visibly not open. You can't do that in the NFL. You can't do it. The defender's right there, and he's throwing it right to him. It's, you know, zero touchdowns, no, and 10 interceptions in the second half of games. It's silly. It's comical. The NFL should push for a change. They're going to lose more ratings just by having him out there.
No, exactly. The quarterback play is so bad. And of course, he went to Harvard, as we heard 10 times last night, so he's smart. How smart was it, Mike? Did you like that shovel pass that he did? Honestly. So you're an Ivy Leaguer. You're supposedly a smart guy. There's, like you said, there's three Arizona Cardinals around you. They all have their hands in the air, and you randomly sort of shovel it in the air. Might have been a turnover. Might have been a pass. His casualness. Last night, there was an Arizona D lineman that came in, hands fully up. Fitzpatrick sees it, throws it into his arms anyways. Like, he just doesn't care.
There's zero touch on the ball. He's got one motion, one throw. He throws a line drive no matter who's in front of him or where it is. I don't get it. I really don't get it. He's laughing all the way to the bank. Supposedly, he's not happy either because he still thinks he should have got more money. I don't know. The whole thing is comical.
Don't say I didn't warn you about this coming into this year.
You warned me. You warned me.
No,
I've been forewarned.
All right, we got to get out of here. But Ben Roethlisberger, he's not playing this week.
No, but you know what? They came out and said he's not. But Philip Rivers played on 6 days rest in the playoffs in 2007. So Roethlisberger should man up and do the same thing.
Yeah, Philip Rivers has God on his side. I don't know if Ben does.
No, Ben's going to hell.
Exactly. It's a little harsh, but I just said God on his side. Hey, always a pleasure, Mike.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Ben's going in a little harsh. Like I said, yeah, it's like Philip Rivers is like Ned Flanders. You know, but the fact, though, Philip Rivers' devout Christianity pretty much proves that God doesn't care who wins football games. Just think about it. Who's more religious than Philip Rivers? And what does it get him besides grief every Sunday? All right, we better change the subject and move on. Game Time Decisions continues. All right, Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We were just having a little debate, in between a commercial break here. Mikey on camera one is a Cowboy fan. You want Tony Romo to be back? Yes or no, Mikey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew, you're not a Cowboy fan. Yeah, come on, Drew. Who should be the quarterback?
Romo.
These two guys say Romo. Like, come on. Like, really? Like, now I'm trusting what Pat said. Now I understand. I shouldn't be surprised about you two, actually. Like, you know, you're not the sharpest tools in the shed. Let's bring in George Kurtz, who's a Cowboy fan. And let's see what George, we're talking hockey with George. But let's see what George says about the quarterback situation. Dak or Tony with the Dallas Cowboys. What's up, George?
What's up? I think my first question would be, why do you want Romo back? And I said, I've never blamed Romo for the Cowboys' problems. He's been great. He's actually made up for more than he's hurt. Why do you want him back?
It's hard. Exactly. Well, we can't have these guys. Not enough time to. I've often wanted to mic the cameraman in the past, but management's against it, I think, with good reason. So,
hey, bro, don't fix it.
No, exactly. And listen, there's no reason to panic about this. Leave Romo on the bench. You know, he's not getting traded. He's not going to the Jets. We were talking about the Jets earlier and Romo getting traded. Maybe Romo finishes his career somewhere else. But right now, the Cowboys have a healthy situation. And the fact is, Dak is always one hit away from getting knocked out, too.
Absolutely. absolutely. Listen, in today's NFL, it's not a bad thing to have two top starting NFL quarterbacks. Ask Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and in fantasy football, it's not bad either, actually, because of injuries. But let's talk some hockey and some fantasy hockey. George, staff writer for Roto Experts, you can hear him right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network daily from noon till 1, Saturday mornings from 8 until 10. So we got a small sample size. We're 6 days into the National Hockey League regular season. A little bit too early to judge, but last year there were only 2.6 goals a game scored, George. Seems to me like there's 2.6 goals a period scored so far this year. Very high-scoring game so far.
It's a small sample size, but the NHL does want higher-scoring games. Most sports leagues do, because we have higher-scoring games. The public, that's what we like. Like, that's why the NFL has changed all their rules. Baseball's done the same. I'm not really going to overreact to this all that much. I know they were talking about streamlining the goalies' pads, you know, making the blocker smaller, making the glove smaller, same thing with the leg pads, but that really hasn't taken effect yet. I think it's a small sample size. I'm not worried about, is it because Jonathan Quick is out? A lot of goalies being hurt. Outside of Jonathan Quick and Carey Price, they're not hurt. Small sample size, things will get back to normal pretty shortly.
You know what? I was reading an interview with Brent Burns, and Burns was asked about it, and a couple of other players that played in the World Cup. Listen, I thought the World Cup was a sham, but without being stated, Brent Burns said, there's so many of us played in the World Cup, we're playing at a high level, and it basically continued from the World Cup, the level of intensity into the season that normally we don't have this early in the season, and I expected that as well. I actually thought that the guys, and you and I talked about it actually, I thought some of the guys that played in the World Cup would sort of have a little bit of a head start, but like you said, it's a small sample size, but you know, they're averaging about 3.41 goals a game, and not including last night's stats, but Rangers, three games, 24 goals scored, 8 goals a game average. Boston Bruins, Marchand's got 7 points, 3 games, 18 combined goals. And the Edmonton Oilers, man, 3 games, a combined 27 goals. So let's talk about the Oilers a little bit, because I'm a betting man and a fantasy man, and I'm betting on the over of every Oilers game, and it's only 5.5. And you were looking at tonight, I don't see how you don't stack McDavid, Eberle, Skinner, Falk, and everybody else in between, George.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned that game, I wrote down the players on that, and those are the top 4 players I have. McDavid is playing fantastic. He may be the best player in the NHL right now. He's on a great line with Eberle. They got Milan Lucic to provide a physical presence so teams don't take a run at him. So maybe McDavid's feeling it, feeling good, feeling on the great on the ice. They don't have a defense. Their defense is poor at best. The goaltending, Cam Talbot, it's not even average. You mentioned Carolina. They have the same thing. Outside of Jeff Skinner, they don't have anybody. Okay, I'll take Falk on defense. But forget it. Lack and net, Cam Ward, don't care. This game is screaming 6-5, 5-4, somewhere around that range. I agree with you.
Yeah, you know what's amazing, actually? We talk about the Oilers. And, you know, if you think of Carolina, you don't think of a high-scoring team. But they played 2 games. They've got 16 combined goals. Carolina's blown leads, actually. They've actually started out well in games and ended up blowing the lead. You mentioned Connor McDavid, $8,500 tonight on DraftKings. 3 games, he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. He's only on pace for 164 points this year. You know, Justin Falk, to me, one of the most underrated players in the NHL. Consistent, man. 2 games, 3 points, $6,000. Very, very good fantasy defenseman, George, as I'm sure you know.
Absolutely. Actually, I got a question the other day about somebody wanting to pick up Falk. Shocked he was on the waiver wire. I know Carolina's a bad team, but Falk is a very good defenseman. Probably a D2 in fantasy hockey. I told you, it's really Skinner and Falk. That's all the offense they have. Those guys are going to get the puck. On the power play, it's all about Falk being the quarterback and shooting the pucks. He's an absolute start. You mentioned tonight, he's 6,000. Kind of high, but not terrible. If you don't want to pay for Brent Burns, you don't want to pay for Brent Burns or Erik Karlsson, Falk is a pretty good choice here, and goals are going to be scored tonight. They're going to be shots. Neither team can play defense. You know, unless the goalies play fantastic, which I would say is unlikely, we're going to see goals being put in the net.
Well, Eberle, you mentioned Jordan Eberle earlier, and I loved Eberle last year in DFS. He was flying under the radar. You know, it's the ultimate wingman, isn't it? It's like going to the club with Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Eberle's just cleaning up, man. But he's not so cheap anymore. $6,900, but, you know, 4 points in 3 games, you're going to get production. He's going to be involved when Edmonton puts the puck in the net. And the last player that catches my eye in this game tonight, $5,100, pretty cheap, is Victor Rask, George.
Yeah, I think when you think about Eberle and McDavid, if you're not going to stack, I still have to start one of them. Maybe you don't want to go with McDavid because he's $8,500 and you want to spend, let's say, $7,300 on Malkin. Pittsburgh, they're playing Montreal. Pittsburgh played last night. Montreal's got a backup goaltender. Maybe you want to save the money. I can see that. But then I have to start Eberle. I got to start one. And as you mentioned, the first thing, I'm probably stacking tonight this game. I love Falk. Skinner at $6,100. Rask, I can live with, but I think I can do better than him. I'm not sure if I want to go that far down. If I'm going to stack this game, I'm going to go with the top-end players. But how one person I do like, sometimes I get a little cheap on defense, Gabe. Someone's going to be on the power play for Edmonton. Sekera, his price is going up. It's not quite as cheap as it was last year or even the first game this year. But $4,800, I might be able to live with that. He's going to be on the power play. McDavid, Eberle will be out there. Maybe he gets an assist.
And speaking of power plays, how about the Nashville Predators power play? Six goals already.
Well, you mentioned Predators. I like that game tonight. Johansson, $5,700. You're playing Dallas, a team, once again, defensively challenged, goaltending challenged. That's a team I like to pick on because they want to play run and gun. They want to play 6-5 games. That's the way they play. Let Jamie Benn and Seguin, Spezza, let them go up and down the ice. Let's play some hockey. Let's play wide open hockey, street hockey. I love Johansson tonight at $5,700.
I didn't check. How much is PK? Do you have in front of you? How much was Subban tonight?
I did not check on PK. I wasn't planning on playing him. I like PK Subban. That was a terrible trade by Montreal. Terrible. I'll never understand that deal, why you give up a top five defenseman in the league. Don't get that at all. He's $6,200 tonight. He'll be on my list as well.
You know, it's funny. We got to get out of here, but you brought up the Habs and the Penguins and just this trade right now. I tell you, I know it's still early and he's got the flu. It's not an injury, but nevertheless, man, I've had Carey Price on my fantasy teams 2 years in a row, George, and I said, I don't care, man. No, not again. Not again. It just starts out. It'd be grinding my gears. What, he's not playing already? He's still not ready?
What kind of flu is this?
Yeah, no kidding. Like, seriously. Like, George, are they telling the truth here? Because he plays in the World Cup, he's fine, and then, oh, suddenly he's got the flu. The flu? Come on, man. It's been a week now. Three games, man.
One thing I like to say, when can you tell a coach is lying to you? When his lips move.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't believe them.
I know. And it's funny. The Canadians are favored tonight. Al Montoya between the pipes. I like Pittsburgh tonight.
I think you're going to the back-to-back games. That's generally what happens. Pittsburgh played last night, a little tired, traveling. I think that's why they're not favored tonight.
Yeah, but I like the fact that they lost. Yeah.
They'll be angry.
Yeah. If they had won, I'd buy into that. But they lost. And I tell you, historically, they always play well, man. Going back to the Mario Lemieux days in Montreal. There's a connection in Montreal, like there. And in fact, you know, Sidney Crosby's father played for the Canadiens. Sidney Crosby grew up a Montreal Canadian fan. So, like, Mario's from Montreal. It was always a big deal. Crosby grew up a Montreal fan. His father was drafted by the Habs. It's always a big deal. It's a big game for the Penguins. I like the Pens tonight.
So do I. It's always a big game in Montreal. They're the New York Yankees of hockey.
Exactly. All right, hey, George, it's always a pleasure, my man.
My pleasure as well. See you next week.
There's George Kurtz with us talking some pucks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I got some puck picks and some baseball when we come back. All right, it's time for our plays today. We got to be quick. This is a little bit dangerous because the picks are correlated. I can't refuse Corey Kluber at +100. The total is 7.5. Listen, if the Jays are going to win, they might score a bunch of runs, like the breakout frustration type of win, and Cleveland might pitch the tent and move on to game 5. But I can't refuse Kluber, and I can't refuse the under. Every game has gone under the number. Give me the Dodgers. Tough spot for the Dodgers tonight. Rich Hill hasn't been great. Arrieta threw no hitter last time he was at Chavez Ravine. That was last year. This is this year. Dodgers are going to win the series. Give me the Dodgers tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins going to Montreal. Always a big game. Sidney Crosby grew up a Montreal Canadian fan. No Carey Price. So there's no Carey Price, and somehow the Canadians are favored, and the Penguins, oh yeah, still haven't lost until last night, coming off a loss, which are going to be in a bad mood. Give me the Penguins in this spot. The Canes, two games, 16 goals scored combined for the Canes. 27 goals scored in Oiler game so far this year, and the total's only 5.5. Give me the over. 5.5, we wrap it up. Vancouver Canucks were predicted to be the worst team in the NHL this year. So far, they haven't lost. They will tonight. Give me the Blues. May the winners be yours.